Galatians 6:9, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Amen. And we're going to be fueled with the Word of God today in these moments together. That was Galatians 6:9. Again, that should be a memory verse for every disciple of Christ on the earth today. And let us not be weary. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Sometimes we do well and bad things happen, like Job, right? And many others we see in Scripture. But Job cried out to the Lord and he said, Lord, though you slay me, in other words, no matter what you allow to happen, I'm still going to trust you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to worship you. If you don't mind me testifying, some of God's children, myself in particular, have been a great fool who has resisted this truth, and God has taken, as you, so much mercy toward me. Thank God his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And it wasn't until I, in my trials, began to look up and cry out with Job and say, Lord, even if you slay me, no matter what you allow me to suffer, I'm still going to love you and trust you. Job 13, verse 15. So in light of that, again, Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, there's a reaping season coming and of great blessings. In due season, when God has finished his work in us through the trials, right? We shall reap if we faint not. If we faint not, we must not faint in those trials. We must continue with the Lord and continue to love him. Hebrews 6, verse 11 and 12 says, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence. We must be diligent and deliberate and intentional as we seek the Lord in his strength and seek his face continually. 1 Chronicles 16:11. So the writer of Hebrews says, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope. As we seek the Lord, we're going to be full of the assurance and the hope of Christ. And we desire, God's desire toward his people, as is stated right here for us today. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance. Are you fully assured of hope unto the end? We're in a war for our soul. We're in a war for the souls of men. And it's only the hand of the diligent that maketh rich, richly blessed with God's blessing on our lives, with his assurance and hope filling our hearts. Then he says in verse 12, and by the way, that's Proverbs 10:4, the hand of the diligent maketh rich. If we want to be richly blessed by God, I'm not talking financially, I'm talking being overflowing with the fruit, the more fruit and the much fruit, and the fruit that remains, we see in John 15, in the abiding saints. Beloved, do you have fruit? Do you have more fruit? Are you seeing much fruit? And is the fruit God's causing you to produce remaining? That ye be not slothful, verse 12, Hebrews 6, that you be not slothful. You got to get up fighting, saints. You got to get up fighting. How do you do that? You start punching and shadow boxing? No, not physically necessarily, but you get up shouting, Jesus, I love you. You get up singing, you get up raising your hands, you declare the things that the man after God's own heart declared. You say, Lord, my soul followeth hard after thee. Psalm chapter 63:8. How about 57:7? My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give you praise. You got to memorize and you got to capture the truths out of the book of Psalms that were a living part of David's life, the man after God's own heart, Acts 13:22. Does God look at you? Does God look at me and say, that's a man, that's a woman after mine own heart? That should be something every disciple of Jesus covets. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are they which hunger, do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Matthew 5:6. And this is what he's saying here, that you're going to, as you're diligent to seek the Lord, you're going to be full. You're going to have the full assurance of hope unto the end. You're going to bust into eternity glorifying God, no matter how it is that you pass from this earth. But you got to be diligent. Notice the word in verse 11, Hebrews 6, diligence. Now here's another power word. I call it a power word. Hebrews 6, 12, the next verse, this passage. Be not slothful, that ye be not slothful. No, you be diligent to seek the Lord and His strength and to seek His face continually. And you're going to be a life that God blesses. Psalm chapter 1, etc. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience, that means perseverance, inherit the promises. We must, through faith, we live by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. We must, by faith and patience or perseverance, inherit the promises of God, not only eternally, but here on earth. Isaiah 41, verse 10 and verse 13. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. For I, the Lord, thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Hallelujah. Isaiah 41, verse 10 and 13. And we're reminded here before we pray in Romans 8, verse 31. For those who are suffering persecution and hardships, notice, what shall we then say to these things? All of these things that are coming upon us. What are we going to say? How are we going to address them and deal with them? And here it is. If God be for us, who can be against us? That's Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who in the universe can be against us? When the one who made all things is for us, he that spared not his own son, he didn't spare giving his own son, who was crucified on Calvary's cross, buried and raised again from the dead for our justification. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I mean, if God bankrupted heaven, that's just a way of saying God gave his only begotten son, who could not mean more to the Father. We can't even fathom the pain of the Father's heart to have sent his only begotten son, the eternal word of God, Jesus Christ, who previously sat on his right hand from all eternity past with no beginning or ending. The Almighty Jesus Christ was absent from the Father's throne with the Father for 33 and a half years. We can't fathom that, but we do know a few things as we're citing. So he that spared not his own son, God gave his only begotten son to come and die for you. Do you hear what he's saying here? He that spared not, he didn't even spare, he gave all when he gave his only begotten son. And he delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Freely, generously, open-handedly. As he gave his son, he will give you every iota of grace and blessedness that you need as you seek his face continually in this life to be a victor, to be in his perfect will, to have every one of your steps ordered by the Lord, Psalm 37:23. So I want you to read Romans chapter 8 this week, and I want you to listen and prayerfully ask the Lord to help you understand what he is communicating to you, because it's a whole lot more than we can go over in this short time. Then he says, after he says, God gave his only son, only begotten son for you. And do you doubt that he's going to give you every and anything that you need when you need it? No, he's not. He's not going to neglect to do such. Who shall lay anything in light of this fact that God gave his only begotten son to die for you, for the body of Christ? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Wow. That reminds me of what we read and we talked about in a recent podcast about David. Notice verse 33 of Romans chapter 8. Again, it reads this way. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? For it is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? Have you ever been condemned? Jesus was condemned to death, and he was the sinless only begotten Son of the Father. Even Jesus was condemned by the mouths of many, even unto death. So I don't know why we think we're not going to be condemned by even those who claim to be Christ.
Followers.
Right? Yeah. We're going to suffer condemnation. And we should take heart in those times, because we should realize that that only confirms Jesus said, if they've persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. And what does that do? That simply confirms your sonship in Christ. In fact, we should really scratch our head and wonder if we're in the will of God, if we're truly walking with God, if we're not receiving condemnation and persecution of different types from others in this world. Luke chapter 6 comes to mind, verse 26. Woe unto you! Woe unto you! When everybody speaks well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Wow. If everybody loves you, it's because you're not representing Christ. You're not preaching the original gospel and all of its doctrines, including the holiness of God and His command that you be holy as He is holy. Woe unto you, he says, when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. And so Jesus said that they're going to say all manner of evil against you falsely. What is that? Matthew 5, 10 through 12. But rejoice in that day. Rejoice in that day, for great is your reward in heaven. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 says the following. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, not for unrighteousness, but for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. Anybody else ever been slandered? Fabrication, things that were made up about you. Well, you're just like every other disciple that's ever lived, and God's going to see you through. God says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. In context, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, having been touched with the feelings of our infirmities in every point that we're tempted, Hebrews 4, and he is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you to bring you through all the way to the end, till you're in glory with him. He's going to make the crooked places straight, Isaiah 45. But in the meantime, what he's doing, what he wants to see in us, what his end desire is to see us like Job, worship him straight through the trial and say, Lord, I'm not going to look at the water under my feet as I walk on water with you, as I live in the miraculous because you're upholding me with the right hand of your power. No, I'm going to look unto you, the author and finisher of my faith, Lord Jesus. All right, so Jesus says that when you're reviled and you're lied about, etc., rejoice, Matthew 5:12, and be exceeding glad. Don't just be happy and glad. Be exceeding glad. Be overwhelmingly overjoyed when you're persecuted for living in the will of God. For great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they, the prophets of God, which were before you. Then he says, verse 16, you got to keep that light shining. Let your light so go. Don't go whimpering and hiding. Praise the Lord for the persecution. Seek his face continually and let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So who is he that's going to condemn you? Who can separate you from the love of Christ? Verse 35, Romans 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, things we suffer, or distress, or persecution? Is somebody lying about you? Or famine, having no food or water? Is that going to separate you from the love of God? No. Or nakedness? Famine or nakedness or peril or sword, even the sword of death. Nothing's going to separate the child of God from the love of God. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. Think about it. We're being persecuted for Christ's sake, and he is with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. Hebrews 13. And it seems appropriate to say here, to state that we can only serve God for ourselves and also pray for those who are born again, that they would, through faith and patience, perseverance, endure to the end. And remember, we can't make anybody but ourselves serve the Lord, you know. We have to set everybody else free by going to the Lord in prayer, denouncing all witchcraft or undue unwarranted control over others, because the only person we control is ourselves. And as we let all that go and we put our eyes on Jesus and we're one with him and we're in the word every day immediately upon awakening, we're seeking the Lord in his strength, we're seeking his face continually, that's when God's going to be using us, not because we're turning away from God and looking in his holy face continually, but because the reason why we're drawn away is we look to others and try to chasten them and beat the men servants, right? We beat the men servants. We start spanking them and mistreating them. Let me see. That is in the Gospels where we mistreat others and try to get them to do what God's will is. No, that's not how it's going to work. Yeah, it's so in Luke 12:45, but if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens and eat and to drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant, that would be the Lord Jesus Christ, will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. So we aren't to try to be forceful with people. That's got to be denounced. And so that's when we get frustrated. We have undue expectations. And okay, so as we come in for a close here in Romans 8:35, who shall separate? Notice the rhetorical question. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Only we can do that, by the way, if we live in sin. We don't meet the conditions to worship, love, trust, seek, and obey the Lord. Who shall? Notice it doesn't say who shall separate us from the life, eternal life. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? God will love us all the way into hell if we choose to live contrary to his holy commands, the word. We don't serve God on any other conditions or terms but the word of God. John 15. I want you to read, if you're listening to me, I want you to read John 15 in prayer this week, maybe 14 and 15. Pour over those two chapters and let God bring you to repentance and set you aright. That's why we have the Word of God, for doctrine, correct teaching and belief about God, correction, reproof, and instruction in righteousness. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, being lied about or whatever, or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Perilous times shall come, the scripture says, or sword, even death, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Take note, Romans 8:37. Nay, in the middle of all these things, and through all these things, we aren't conquerors. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. And what he's doing by allowing these things is to cause us to be forged in our oneness with him, John 17, and the Father. Our fellowship is with the Father and the Son, 1 John 1:3. And God has something greater in mind than to just bring us and snap us out of some trial. He's trying to get repentance in a deeper fashion and a conformity to the image of Christ, as he just said, in verse 29, whom he did foreknow. He knew you would love him, be saved by him, and follow him to the end. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. See, we're predestinated to be conformed to Christ, to the crucified, buried, and raised up image of Christ. Then he says, for after telling us that we're more than conquerors as we are one with Christ, that's got to be very important to every one of us. Are we truly one with Christ? Or are we just saying we are? Is he our everything? Is he our first love? Do we love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength? That's a choice that only I can make for myself. And you may want me to love the Lord, but you can't do that for me. You can merely pray for me and then let it go and get your face back in the face of the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face that speaks of intimacy eye to eye continually. That's where we go wrong. We're not seeking the Lord continually. We back off. We look left or right, and we fade and faint. And all of the calamity that comes upon us, the shame and the guilt and the darkness, is all there to say, return to the Lord. Hosea 14:1. Return to the Lord. There was one king in the Old Testament, and it says this of him. I love this. This is just beautiful. It's going to be 2 Chronicles 26:5 of King Uzziah. It says this: as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. See, if I'm not prospering in the will of God and his anointing and his blessing is not on my life, what does that tell us? I'm not seeking the Lord. But as long as I do seek the Lord, God is going to make my life to prosper. It's going to be a living monument of the glory of God in Jesus Christ. And so is yours. And that's God's will for your life. 2 Chronicles 26:5, I want you to memorize this scripture. As long as he sought the Lord, it's conditional, God made him to prosper. What a verse of truth. God made him to prosper. I want you to memorize that last part of 2 Chronicles 26:5. As we close, end of Romans 8, what a glorious chapter. I want you to read it every morning this week in prayer. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, anything presently happening, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, any other created being, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Before we pray, let us be reminded of the words of 1 John 5:3, speaking of the love of God. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. 1 John 5:3. His commandments aren't boredom or obligation or grievous to those who love him. They delight to do his will. Their obedience to them comes out of their love for him. And that's what is being measured here in our hearts. As God, the Lord, through his word, the sword of his word, is convicting us to look up and say, do I really love you, Lord? Are you truly my first love? In other words, are you absolute, total, complete, unmatched, no competition, first love of my life? This is an hour to repent. Jesus told the church in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, the Ephesian church, that they were being called to repent because he was no longer their first love. And the fact that he called them to repent clearly reveals that they were not ready to meet Christ. In other words, if they died, they'd be going straight to hell because no idolater is going to enter into the kingdom of God. God is love, but God is also just, and he's holy, holy, holy. Heavenly Father, we ask you to convict our hearts, Lord, all the way to the depth of our being and make us absolutely miserable to be anywhere outside of your perfect will, loving you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, Lord. Circumcise our hearts of every trace of evil and fill us with your Holy Ghost to walk with thee, Lord, every step of the way, depending on your leadership. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.